that there are around 9,000 children who, for all sorts of reasons, cannot be looked after by their own family. This is where you might come in, though. It's a chance for you to potentially change a child's life for the better. It could also be hugely rewarding for you as well. But it ain't a walk in the park. I think that's very, very fair to say. So to tell us about her experience of fostering, I'm talking to Carol, who's from Leeds, and Richard, who is area manager for TACT in Yorkshire. Hello, both.
Morning.
Hello, thank you so much for joining us. Let's talk to Carol, first of all. Carol, I think you've been a foster carer for quite some time now. Is that fair to say?
It is. I'm on my 12th year now of fostering.
Wow. And why and how did you get into it in the first place?
It's something I've always wanted to do. I think this goes back to when I was at school and I had a friend there that had been through the fostering system. And we shared a lot, and it always stuck in my mind. And when I got married to Peter, we talked about it. After having our three girls, we decided to take the plunge, I suppose, and have a go at fostering. And I've never looked back, and it's amazing. Oh. And TACT are just the great.
Well, we'll talk to Richard from TACT shortly, because I'd like to know a little bit more about the process and what's actually involved. But Carol, how many children have you fostered in that time? Is it quite a lot or not?
I fostered, let me think, about seven children have come and gone. And then I've got four children with me now that are permanent.
I see. So that means that they came into your home and for whatever reason they've massively integrated and they're staying with you.
Yes, absolutely amazing. Yes, yeah. I've got four little darlings.
Oh, and it sounds like you do get a lot out of it. What have you learned about yourself?
I think the patience, resilience, just listening to a child, looking at the big picture, looking at why they act like they do sometimes because of, you know, what they've witnessed, what they've been through in their life. But the rewarding parts are when you see that child doing so well at something, you know, like, for instance, a child that really wants to play football, you get them in a football team and they win their first trophy. It's just so amazing. Just watching them do so well at school, you know, from a child that can hardly talk or can't read very well, and then, you know, in 12-month time, you know, you're getting there, making them part of your family, you know, because I've got grandchildren as well, and we're just one big family. And I think TACT on a whole as well, you know, they're like a family as well. You know, we're all very close.
So do you get support from other foster carers as well?
Yeah, I'm actually the foster care rep for Yorkshire as well, which I've done for quite a few years now. Yeah, I've got a lot of friends. Obviously, all our foster carers, we have a foster care group and we talk quite a lot. And all our foster care reps, we meet up every month with our chief executive, Anda, and we chat about all sorts of different things. And it's just a really good company to work for.
Tell me a little bit about a trip you took to Gambia, and I think you took a couple of your foster children with you.
Yep. Gambia is one of our favourite, it's our favourite place. We've been going for 15 years and we did some charity work out there with some friends. And we originally stepped away from taking the children because we'd always taken them to places where they got theme parks and, you know, like the water parks. But we took them to Gambia and they just absolutely loved it. The beaches where we stay, they met so many friends, and now if you ever talk to them, where do you want to go on holiday, they will say Gambia. And we're going later this year.
What did they say about some of the things that they observed there that was surprising to you?
Because the charity that we're involved with, there's an orphanage and we go to a school, and one of the children that was with me, she actually said, gosh, how lucky am I? And it made us think that there are people actually worse off than what she was when she was younger, even though she'd been through so much. Mm. It was very emotional, to be honest, having a child say something like that.
Have you found
These children are so resilient.
Do you know what? I was literally the words that were going to come out of my mouth, because I imagine, and believe me, I really don't know, but I imagine if children have been treated a certain way all of their lives and then they come to you, they probably have not a really good idea of what normal is. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do. Absolutely, yes. You know, just a simple thing like, you know, taking them for a walk in the woods with the dogs, you know, they've not experienced family life, you know, as I suppose, as I know it. So, you know, to take them on holiday, to take them out for a meal, just to take them for a walk, it's just like another world for them.
Yeah. And I'm sure that people or children come to you from, you know, different backgrounds for entirely different reasons. But how do you cope when their story is particularly traumatic, and maybe it takes a little bit of time for them to talk to you, but they do want to talk to you? How does that impact on you? How do you deal with that?
It's not easy. I mean, fostering is amazing. It's not for everyone, and it is a 24/7 journey. I don't class it as a job. I think it's just something we enjoy doing. I think it's very difficult when a child tells you something that's happened to them. You have to just listen, show empathy, look at the big picture, and then afterwards I'd probably just give my social worker a tap to ring and just have a chat with her. And, you know, I've also got colleagues, friends at Foster as well, and we have a buddy system, so give them a ring and, you know, we just chat. I think talking about things and, you know, putting things into perspective, it's difficult to imagine what some of these children have actually experienced in their little lives, you know. It's hard. It's not easy. Fostering isn't easy, but it is rewarding. It's something that you've got to really want to do. Yeah. And as I say, we need more foster carers, definitely. You know, so if you are thinking about it, just give us a call.
Absolutely. And the last question I was going to ask you, actually, Carol, is at the other end of the spectrum, eventually some foster children might call you mum and dad. Does that mean that as the relationship moved on and you have become their parents?
Absolutely. We have a foster daughter that has moved on now. She's 19 and she calls me mum. And she also took our name as well when she was 18. She rings me every day and she comes up a couple of times a week still.
Amazing. Oh, you've moved me. I've just... But you must feel like this quite a lot.
It is emotional. Yeah, it is. It's emotional, but it's rewarding, and it's something that I love it. I enjoy it.
Well, bless you.
You have good days and bad days, but, you know, everybody has them, don't they?
Well, I think
there's more rewards and there's more good days and bad days.
Well, let's have a chat to Richard from Tact. Talk to me about Tact, first of all. What is Tact? What do you do?
Hi, Gail. So Tact is a national fostering charity. And what we do is we manage foster carers for children that need foster placements. We operate throughout the country, although, as you said, I'm the area manager for Yorkshire and the North East. We have about 50 families currently in our region, but we would always welcome more. And it's about supporting those foster carers to provide the best possible homes for those children that really need it. And it's about making sure that those foster carers have the skills and the support they need to take on some of those challenges to help those children with those really difficult outcomes, you know, trying to give them the best outcomes that they can possibly have.
Yeah, I mean, as an organisation as well, just because I don't fully understand that, you know, sort of the various functions, do you work closely with the local councils then? You know, how are you connected up to these children?
We do. We work very closely with our local authority partners across West Yorkshire, and we speak to them about what their needs are in terms of the children that they're needing to place. And as I said, Tact are a charity, so what we do is any surplus funds over our operating costs, we used to reinvest in supporting the children, supporting the foster carers to make sure they get the best possible support to help out these children. So it is about working very closely with the local authorities to meet that need that they've got. Mm.
So if I, for example, was to contact you today, how long would the process be between, you know, initial contact and then me talking to you and then eventually looking after someone?
Right, so just to talk to you a bit through the process, Gail, what would happen, you would have an initial conversation with us, talking about what your family situation is, why you're thinking of fostering, where you're based, and looking at what you might be able to offer. You know, we take inquiries from all sectors of the community because the children that get referred to us reflect the various diverse communities we've got across Yorkshire. We need a diverse range of carers to be able to meet those needs. So it starts off with an initial conversation. We would invite you along to some preliminary training, which would explain a bit more about fostering, how it would affect you, how it would affect your household, family members. Just because, like Carol said, you know, fostering's not for everybody. So it's about making sure people are as well prepared for the fostering task as possible. So following on from that, if you felt that this was for you and you wanted to move forward, we would look at starting an assessment process. Now, the assessment process can take up to 5 months. It's quite a long process. It's quite in depth. Mm. It's not about scrutinising people and trying to find skeletons in closets. It's about trying to help people work through past experiences and identify your skills, your talents. You know, sometimes when people have been through adversity in their own life, like you said earlier about resilience, it makes them stronger and gives them that empathy for children who've been through difficult times. So it's about recognising those kind of skills and those people and what they can then provide for these foster children.
But I was just going to say, Richard, just to briefly pick up on a little bit of that, and for obvious reasons, there will be a bit of digging into your background. Do you ask for, like, character witnesses almost? Do you contact people outside? If it was me, would I be asked to, you know, contact somebody else to say, actually, yeah, she's all right?
We would, Gail. We'd ask you to provide details for some family members, friends who could vouch for you as a character reference. If you've been in a previous relationship, we might want to speak to your ex-partners. We'd speak to schools. Basically, because these are vulnerable children that are going to be entrusted to your care, we need to make sure, one, that people are safe, but also that people have got the skills. We don't want to set potential foster carers up to fail, and we don't want to set these children up to fail either. We want stability for children. So we want to make sure that, but also as well, like I said, it's about foster carers learning about themselves and learning what their skills are that they might not always realise when they make that first phone call. You know, things that have gone in their life that they may think are actually detrimental might actually be a real strength.
It's a heck of a journey, isn't it? But certainly, Carol, it sounds like for you it's definitely been worth it, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely, absolutely, yeah.
As far as all the digging and all the work at the start's concerned, you've been doing it for years now, so that must seem like a blink of an eye, that time that you spent actually gearing up for it.
It was a long, long time ago. I do actually remember the initial phone call to TACT, and I actually remember the lady that I spoke to, Sue, who still actually works for TACT, and she's still as friendly as what she was when I first phoned her. So I think another thing about TACT is that there's always somebody there on the end of the phone 24/7, and it's usually always someone that we know and know something about us as well.
Perfect. That sounds great.
Which is very helpful. Yeah.
It does. It sounds very supportive. If people are interested, Richard, what should they do?
Right. In the first instance, Gail, they should go to the website, which is tactcare.org.uk. They can see a lot more about us on there. They can see some of the services we offer. They can see some of the blogs that foster carers have done. They can look at some of the support that we offer. And then there's contact details to contact our team for an informal chat to start the process should they want. Tactcare.org.uk, that's your first port of call.
Perfect. Well, thank you for talking to me today. It's been fascinating. Richard from TACT, and also Carol. Carol, what's today looking like for you? Busy day?
Actually, yeah, I've got some ironing to do, tidying up. Yeah, I always got ironing, always got washing.
Do you know what? I bet you have. I bet you're putting on three washes a day, aren't you, Carol?
At least two a day, definitely, yes.
lovely to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your time. I've been talking to Carol and Richard there from Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.